Welcome to Living Goddess with Shamali God Arda. Listen in for goddess mythology, wisdom teachings, and intimate sharings from her daily practice and contemplations. Shamali illuminates the Shakti keys stitched into the fabric of our daily lives and inspires us to reclaim a pulsating intimacy with Source and revive our spiritual lineage rooted in the Living Goddess.
Hey, welcome. Welcome to Living Goddess Podcast. I am Shamali, and today I will do a little experiment. I will try to share with you from inside the intimacy of our circle, and especially inside from our Corfu Goddess Summer Ashram retreat. We will meet in Corfu in June, and we meet for 3 weeks, but you can choose to come for one or two or three weeks. And why I want to share about this now in the podcast is because we have an early bird discount that is available until March 15th. And I'm also going to just say the website that you can get all the information about how to register. That is CorfuRetreat.com. CorfuRetreat.com. That's CorfuRetreat.com. And you can also find the link on AwakeningWomen.com. We have a stream of questions coming in, people who are curious and want to know more. And I just figured that I would spend this bonus podcast episode to just try to share with you the magic that is happening in Corfu and maybe inspire you to join. I usually hesitate with kind of selling any of our programs. The intention for our practices is really to guide each woman into the authority of her own spiritual connection and inner guidance. So it would be counterproductive for me to try to convince anybody to come. But nevertheless, I also don't want to hold back just how much I love this retreat. For me, this time in Corfu every summer is my favorite time of the year. It truly is magical what is unfolding there. We have been meeting in Corfu for many years. I think this is the 18th year that we meet. We had a two-year break during the pandemic. But other than that, we have been meeting there every summer for for a long time. I remember the moment, the vision of this retreat came in. It felt like a download. It felt like divine guidance very strongly. I was sitting on the sofa. I think at that point I was maybe 34 or 35 years old. And I had this vision of gathering on Corfu. It was inspired by one Swedish sister who just mentioned to me this longing to meet in Southern Europe somewhere. And then I was sitting with my computer and I looked at different places, and then I found this place, Arillas in Corfu, where some friends of mine had been teaching a retreat for many years. And I was just feeling that, this is it. And then started this wonderful, magical process of bringing an impulse, a vague sense, a longing into form. And then we gathered. I remember the first time we gathered for 1 week. And then we started to expand 2 weeks, many years, and then we ended up with 4 weeks for many years. And now we are gathering for 3 weeks. And throughout the years, for many women, this gathering is like an oasis where we come and become, you know, we rejuvenate, we fill up the well so that we can go back into our lives with the overflow, with a connection rooted in sisterhood, a sense of walking in this life within a greater context. Because, of course, it's the greater context of the circle in Corfu, but the circle in Corfu is also rooted in the lineage of the goddess, which is an ancient lineage that has been trickling through our hearts way before any religions or countries. And so for many of us, this is such a homecoming, a deep, deep, deep sense of remembering our unique thread in this vast tapestry that is the goddess. So I'm going to speak about the practices, I'm going to speak about the venue, and also going to speak about just the intention for each week. And yeah, let me just begin with that. So we meet for 3 weeks, and it is a three-week process. But nevertheless, there are many who choose to come for 1 week or 2 weeks, and some are coming only for week two or week three. And that is, you know, a choice that each one can make. What I do recommend is that if you are new to the practices, I recommend to come to week one first, because in week one, the focus is on embodiment. Embodiment is, of course, a thread that weaves through all of our practices. But in week one, we work with the elements. We are having dance ceremony every day. You will have lots of support to drop down, to descend from kind of moving through life in a mental evaluation or commentary about your experiences into a direct, a felt sense of life, of yourself and your place in life. And in this way, you are awakening your full instrument of communication. You can receive guidance and communication from your surroundings and also communicate and express with your whole being. And this is that kind of descent from the Uranus consciousness. Uranus consciousness is, we remember from the myth of Gaia in Uranus, which is from Greek mythology. And this myth is somehow the map that we are practicing in, starting from week one. And if you want to learn more about that myth, you can actually go back to one of the first episodes that I made here, where I shared about embodiment and the myth of Gaia in Uranus. So our practices is to descend from an uprooted sense of self back into a wholeness where spirit and matter are woven in back in as one. Of course, it's always been one, but it is in the human consciousness. We tend to fragment up and prefer to live in an abstract sense of self as if that is a kind of, as if we have more control there. It leaves us very fragile, and it leaves us very disconnected. So the process that we go through in week one is a process into very profound and deep connection with who we are and how Source uniquely expresses itself through each one of us. And then in week two, it is it's called the Into the Heart of the Living Goddess, and this is really a practice that is so relevant to living in the world today. It's like, how can we stay rooted in the heart while being engaged and contribute in the world without drowning, without getting lost in all of the distractions that are happening? And also without being numb and aloof and kind of cut off. And of course, the goddess mythology that is relevant here is the mythology around Divine Mother Consciousness, Kuan Yin, Isis, all of these goddesses, but also Durga and Freya. Durga from India, she's showing us how to stay rooted in the heart and move into the battlefield of the world, of our own consciousness within and without, with a clear vision, with a clear kind of sense of I'm creating the game. I come in with this vision of my heart. I'm going to engage, but I'm not going to buy into all the mess and all the games that is, playing themselves out in the world. It's always a surprise to me too which goddess is coming through each week, but this is probably some of these goddesses will come through. And this week is also a week with a lot of space for grief and tenderness and really move through all the numb and blocked places in our hearts so we can relax into where the true power is. You know, we sometimes think that the power is in our protection or our kind of our coping strategies, but again, it makes us very brittle and fragile. So when we have support to drop down into all the layers of numbness, we fall in, we relax in to where the true power is, which is the capacity to be present with the full spectrum of who we are. So we don't have to kind of spend our life trying to create a certain image that we present. And then the third week is called Into the Source of Living Goddess, and this is really a week where we drop into more of stillness, more of spaciousness. Oftentimes we practice here with the goddess Hestia. She's a Greek goddess. She's the flame at the center, the one that nourishes us, where we return to be rejuvenated, the one who always stays home. So it's a part of our consciousness that never leaves, even though we get lost in the dramas of the world, we can always return to Hestia. And I also made an episode about Hestia actually early on, so you can scroll and find that that episode to learn more. And this week is for those who can really, that have a longing for more spaciousness and silence and can hold yourself in that kind of practice. So it will be less of the, of course you will be instructed in the practices, but in week one and two there are more instructions of why we are doing the practices, which is really, really helpful on this path. So if you are completely new, I do recommend you to come week one or two first. But we don't have a kind of a criteria like that, so we leave it up to you also to make, your choice about this. And overall in our practices, there is one aspect of the Gaia Uranus myth that has to do with the descent and the union between earth and sky, but it also has to do with how to be with exiled parts of ourselves. When we are coming into this deeper connection, most of us need to move through many, many layers of parts of ourselves that we have pushed down into the shadow, pushed away to survive. But also that pushing away is also pushing away a big part of our life force energy and power and intelligence and wisdom and compassion. So the myth gives us a map of also how we can turn towards exiled parts of ourselves instead of turning our back at them and try to present a face outwards, which cost us so much energy. So in the turning towards the unwanted and exiled parts of ourselves, we immediately bring love into the field. We immediately bring compassion in. Just the turning towards is love. So already there we are contributing to bringing more of what we long for into our world, not only in our personal sphere, but also it will affect and ripple out into everyone we meet and beyond. So a lot, you know, the core of our practices is not to become something or reach for that kind of carrot on the stick. It is a process of dropping in and down, have a lot of support to drop in through the layers that needs to be felt and seen, so that we can come into a true direct recognition, a realization of source being that which moves us and breathes us. We relate, then we come into a relationship with Goddess of uttermost intimacy. It's not a belief system. It's not some lofty ideal. It is a felt sense of, there's something bigger within me that moves me. And I can, with practice, with support of sisterhood, of the circle, I can soften and relax and receive that immense intelligence and love through my body, and I can be an instrument of that in the world. So that brings me into our practices. We do practice a lot with movement in non-verbal practices, and this is not to say that our minds or our words are not welcome or wanted. It's just a little bit like an antidote, since we are living so much of our lives from the neck up, and there's so much emphasis on verbal communication. In our circle, we get the opportunity to awaken our full instrument, where we retrieve our intuition, our deeper knowing, our sense, our intimacy with kind of the garden below the garden, with the energetic field that permeates everything we perceive as a physical solid form. And once we drop into that kind of communication with ourselves and the world, we have access to so much resources. It's that sense of not being alone. It's not like I can drop my shoulders and relax my jaw and soften my yoni, because I am resting in a sense of belonging, that, I'm not a mistake. I'm not a mistake to be fixed. That I am the glorious expression of Source. And yes, we all have places where we contract and dim that light, and that's why we come to practice. But nothing, we don't have to get rid of anything. We don't have to fix anything. We don't have to achieve anything in order to have this intimate connection with who we are. Yeah, it's just a process of softening. So we use a lot of movements. We use the practice of temple touch, which is a very respectful way of touching each other, where the intention is just to send the body the message that it is safe to be present with what is arising in you right now. You don't have to leave this moment and go into coping strategies that lead you away from connection. So we support each other in that way with a temple touch. It's a lot of nourishment, a lot of touch. You know, this is, for many of us, the favorite part of our practice. Because also, like, we are, in general, very starved for touch that doesn't have any agenda. It's not like a sexual touch, or it's not a touch that wants something. It's a touch that just supports me to be relaxing, unclenching all my coping and my control and my barriers, and then I begin to have that sense and that realization and that direct experience of wow, that which I long for is already here. It's already who I am. We also dance. Like I mentioned, the first week we dance with our dance teacher, Karina Maria. She's going to be with us for the week one. We dance every day with her. in a practice called life dancing, which is when we move through the elements. And again, the elements, you know, sometimes we relate to that somehow like a metaphor or something that is out there in nature, but we are made of the elements. And once we begin to have a conscious relationship to the elements within us, we can creatively shapeshift and bring balance into our lives in a very profound way. Yeah, if there's stagnation, we can consciously bring in more of the wind or the water. If there is very much turmoil, we can consciously bring in more the stability of earth, and so on. We do dance in week one and week two and three too. We don't maybe have like a big dance session every day like we do in week one. But dance is definitely a very, very core part of our practice. To dance freely, to just let your body receive the moment, to receive the breath, to receive presence, to receive the beat of the rhythm, is so archetypal. It's something that our bodies know how to do. We have been in together with other bodies, moving in rhythm since the beginning of time. And even since the beginning of the forming of this body, we were growing with the beat of the heart of our mother and the beat of our heart, our own hearts. And there's something so fundamental to being human is to dance. So dance is not like a skill that some people have and some don't. It's to be human. And in Corfu, our dance sessions is really a free space where we get to, in a nonverbal way, be with Shakti, with life force energy and how it moves through us. And many of us, we move through layers of feeling, of falling apart, of a rumbling rage or power coming through. And in the dance sessions, we are invited to just follow the energy, how it moves through us. And then again, there's that support of the beat that will always hold us and can always return to it. We also spend time in meditation and silence. We do guided journeys. We engage in ritual. In one way, the whole retreat is a ritual place, but we sometimes also make rituals in a very intentional way. And ritual is also one of those spaces and movements that the cells in our body know. Yeah, sometimes, like at a certain point in history, ritual and ceremony was kind of outsourced to the middleman, to those special ones that could do that. And in our circle, we engage in kind of the retrieval of our birthright, the retrieval and confidence of our place in ritual. So sometimes it can be very clumsy and imperfect the way the ritual unfolds, but this is intentional. It's like we are supported to be in the discomfort of and the clumsiness of retrieving something that our modern cultures have stolen from us. So there's a lot of compassion and patience as we are remembering, each one of us remembering that, oh, ritual is not for the chosen few. Ritual is the way I can communicate directly with the source that breeds me and how I can, you know, bring my gratitude and I can bring my intention. I can heal in quantum leaps. I can heal in ritual way, which is very different than kind of the more the progression of a more psychological process. Not to say that psychological processes are wrong. I'm just saying that the ritual space is very, very core to the goddess path. And then we also chant. We chant the names of the goddess. The chanting, the singing, is of course a way for us to to also express our hearts, to express our gratitude, to express our devotion. Devotion is really one of the qualities that I love the most about our circle. Like since I was a child, I longed to have spaces to just be in devotion. It's not rational, it doesn't have to make sense, but it's also, again, such a core part of being human. And the singing of the names of the goddess in the songs are also a way for us to ride on the vibration of sound. Vibration of sound is like this bridge between the realms, between the dimensions. So while we are chanting, we are making sounds, we are hearing sounds, but that is kind of the physical expression of something that is also has its energetic roots. And we can follow that vibrations in and down into the source from where the vibration comes from. And then we begin to realize that, oh, there are vibrations arising from the deep within us too. And like two strings resonate with each other, we begin to resonate. Like I sing on the surface and there is a song arising from within me too. And then we can ride those waves into a profound connection. What else? We do also do sharing practices, oftentimes in kind of a little bit of a structured way. We have a specific question that we contemplate, or there's a certain kind of intention around the sharing. Sometimes we share while we're being touched, and all of this is to support us to allow our words arise from a deeper place, from that deep connection, from a very undefended, honest place. Word from nature in Corfu. And it is an island that is still very underdeveloped. Like I said, I've been there for, I think, 18 years. And it's still very, very simple living there. Really, really, really lovely, lovely, lovely place. And our venue, the Buddha Hall, is up on the hilltop. So we have views in all directions. It's very, very quiet and beautiful olive groves around our temple. There's a swimming pool up there. So most of the women live by the beach and then take a little shuttle up each morning before the morning practice. It takes maybe 5-10 minutes with a shuttle up, and then we stay up there for the whole day until after lunch, so until around 3 o'clock. And then most take shuttle or scooter or car down to the beach to have a siesta and maybe some lunch, or lunch you already had. You had some siesta and then go to the beach in the afternoon, late afternoon, and one can stay to the beach around, 7:30, 8 o'clock. It's very beautiful. And then some evenings we meet on the beach and have a singing and a silent meditation right at the sunset, which is very magical. Some women also choose to stay up around the Buddha Hall, but if you choose to do that, then you would need to rent a scooter or a car just to get up and down there in the evening. So we do recommend to stay down by the beach, because then you can take that shuttle up. And when we stay up at the Buddha Hall during the day, there's some breaks where you can be quiet in the olive groves or in the beautiful pool, or you can share with sisters. It's very nourishing food. And there's this choice of being quiet in your own space or being together. And you can always change your mind and move between the two as you like. Yeah, I think that's all that comes to me right now about the Corfu retreat. I want to repeat again that there is an early bird discount before March 15th. You can, of course, register after that. But yeah, if you want to take advantage of the early bird discount, that's before March 15th. And yeah, if you feel a longing to come to a place to practice, this is really a place where we share a dedication to spiritual practice. It's a place where we can connect deeply with the goddess. It's a place for ritual, for meditation, for chanting, for dance, for a free flow of feelings. A place where you can feed your roots in the goddess tradition, then come to Corfu. I really, 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 from my heart, want everybody to know that this place is existing. I know that I was longing for a place like this, that's why I created it. And that every year it's just blossoming more and more and more and more. So I hope to see you there. You can go to the website corfuretreat.com, or you also find a link on awakeningwomen.com. But yeah, so the website is corfuretreat.com. I hope to see you there.
Thank you for listening to Living Goddess. If you like what you heard, please share this podcast with a friend and follow, rate, and review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in.